Next item, Mr. Graham.
Commissioner, this is commission consideration of the appropriate terms, conditions, and just compensation.
Hold just a second. Go ahead. For the record, Mr. McCleskey will be stepping down and recusing himself of deliberation in this matter.
Doing so because of that, may have something of our similar.
Thank you, sir.
This is commission consideration of the appropriate terms, conditions, and just compensation for the conveyance of 0.749 acres, 32,631 square feet, a previously filled state-owned subaqueous land situated along the Elizabeth River in Norfolk, and this is in keeping with, in accordance with, Chapter 884, Acts of Assembly 2007. You'll see in a moment, but this is a map of 1892 in Norfolk. The project site is located in the general area, denoted by red. It's significant just in that, as one would expect, a lot of the shorelines over the years have changed dramatically. You will see later on that Moon Engine, December Partners has actually gone back and they've used an 1871 mean low water mark to determine those areas that were filled, and that was the purpose of trying to pick an 1892 chart of the area. The general location that we're talking about is here. You will note that there's a number of slips, a number of fill that's occurred. This is Collie, the remnants of Collie Creek. This is the remnants of Smith Creek, and in the previous drawing, you saw that they were far more extensive than they are at the present day. Just a close-up of the property we're talking about, this particular parcel right here. What December Partners did is depict the 1871 shoreline and provided a survey with the meets and bounds of the fill property, which approximates the dimensions previously given. Since there was no authorization that they could find, this is fill that occurred on state-owned submerged lands. They're doing this to perfect the title. Mm-hmm. Section 2 of this enabling legislation, which has also been put in the code in another section, says that the grantee shall compensate the Commonwealth an amount commensurate with the property interest, i.e. that fee simple interest that's being conveyed. General Assembly went on to say that that property interest shall be equivalent to 25% of the assessed value, exclusive of any buildings and improvements. So you're talking about the previously filled land itself. As a way to obtain what that assessed value was, they said use the average of the local real estate tax assessments for the preceding 10 years. They did it for a period of time. It also reflected the change that one has seen recently in the value of waterfront property. They did go on to say at the end that if no such assessments are available, then the value is calculated as the percentage, so that if you're looking at a large parcel and there's only a small section that's filled, but that's the entire parcel, you take that percentage. Again, we're talking about this particular parcel, and you'll note that there's an old wall. The shoreline actually runs back in through here, and you'll see that on a previous and an additional survey that December Partners produced. In looking at the real estate taxes, there actually were two parcels, 2 and 2A, 3 and 3A, that were actually being taxed. Now, in the case of parcel 2, the tax assessment was only for the filled area, so it's one for one. In the case of 3, the tax assessment actually covered the previously filled area as well as a section that's currently subaqueous, covered by water. So in looking and using the formula that the General Assembly provided, the total area of parcel 2 is 19,125 square feet. Going back on the 10 years of real estate assessments for the land only, that average assessment is $75,966. And if you then take the 25% of the average assessment as the value of the property interest being conveyed, that amounts to $18,331.50. Parcel 3, as you'll recall, the total area was 16,355 square foot. However, a portion was filled and a portion is still subaqueous. The area being conveyed, i.e. only the filled area, is 13,506 square feet. That's 82.68% of the total parcel for which the assessment is available. So if one takes the 10-year average assessment for this parcel in its entirety is 62,570. If one then takes the 82.68%, that value amounts to $51,732.88. 25% of which amounts to $12,933.22. If one strictly takes then the value of the filled lands comprised in parcel 2 and 3, that amount is $31,924.72. There's also another section in the particular code section or the Act of Assembly that was passed. It's also in the law that was changed for other parcels in the future, and it says that if the commission determines that unique circumstances exist, the commission may allow the grantee to compensate the Commonwealth in something less than the 25% that we just calculated. However, if the commission opts to do that, any such determination shall be in writing and shall not be subject in and of itself to judicial review. So the commission would have to make a finding. Counsel for December Partners, Mr. Nolan, is here today. He will be presenting some additional information regarding number three. But I'll leave this up. This is the parcel, and again, we're talking about, you know, the mean low water filled area that's comprised by this particular parcel.
Question?
Mr. Fox,
has anybody been paying property taxes on this land that's being requested in the past?
Well, probably should get those details from Mr. Nolan.
Okay, and I'll just make a, before he answers that, I'll just make a comment based on the $2.75 a square foot we charged on the Rappahannock River, our precedent, this would be $89,735.
The
act came after that.
Yes. The last conveyance that the commission has approved was, in fact, the Jerry Ferguson, where the commission used its royalty schedule. And as I indicated in the evaluation, that was our procedure prior to the General Assembly providing basic guidance as to the factors to use in weighing and determining what that real estate interest was. So yes, there's a there's a difference in both the size of the property and the amount that the commission authorized. But in this case, we're doing it
by the law.
Correct.
Right. Mr. Robbins, I think, had a question.
Thank you. I did a follow-up. I was curious to know what staff's view is of unique circumstances contemplated by the Act.
I don't have any particular on this specific project. However, what I think is important to point out is that the Commission and the General Assembly can only convey lawfully filled lands. And where I think it comes into play will be in the future conveyances, because if the Commission authorizes the filling of a project for reasonable uses and charges its royalty for the filling, and if one says, you know, 45,000 square feet in an acre and it's $3 a square foot, you know, the Commission is looking at $135,000 royalty for the right to fill that state-owned submerged land. If that permit is issued, the fill goes forward, the city turns around now and says that property that was created, that acre, is now assessed at $1 million. And the people who are developing it come back and say, well,
We made it.
It's assessed at, you know, $1 million. 25% is $250,000. Yes, I want the underlying fee, but I've already paid a royalty to fill it in the amount of $150,000. Should I or could I be given credit for that against the 25%, which in that case would be $250,000? In other words, can I give you $100,000, which is the balance of what I've previously paid? And I think an argument could be made that, in fact, you know, the right to fill and then the submerged interest, which is public trust interest, which is being conveyed, you know, you may want to consider that. But I don't – the General Assembly did not provide, nor do I have a specific – recommendation. I think, as Chris will probably confirm, part of the rationale, I think, in the reason they've used real estate assessments is that the locality really cannot assess taxes on state-owned property. And the clients, December Partners, over the years paid it. They could certainly seek a reimbursement from the city of Norfolk for taxes that were paid for which there was no authorization. I think the rationale was, in some of the discussion, that you're paying it to one arm of the government, in this case, the local government, as opposed to the state government, and should there be a mechanism to credit me as a property owner for money that I've paid to the government. And I think that's the basis for what Mr. Nolan, you know, will be arguing.
I may have missed it. Staff's recommendations are...
My recommendation would be the 25%, because this is the first time the General Assembly has given us something, and quite frankly, I think we ought to take advantage of the mechanism that was afforded, you know, by the legislature. And so our recommendation would be just to use the 25%.
You got any idea in converting square footage to acres for this poor old country boy, how much we're talking about?
Well, 43,560. Yeah, it's 1 acre. So got this it. Was 0.8 tenths of an acre was
got
the
you.
Field area.
I knew that land baron down there on the end could take care of that for me. Mr. Nolan, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, members of the commission. My name is Chris Nolan with Williams Mullen, representing John and Lisa Walker, who are the principals of December Partners. And I don't think there's any disagreement over the calculation of what the 25% is. We provided that information to Mr. Grab, and I believe you may actually have it in your packet of our submission to staff. And we are here today to ask for a credit to reduce that 25%. This is the first parcel coming through the pipe. The reality is that Virginia has thousands of miles of riverfront property, which equals hundreds of landowners, and then a smaller subset are going to be affected by this. So this isn't while this is the first parcel that you have, it probably won't be the last. I'm pretty sure of that. So I ask you to keep that in mind. And an important thing to note here is that this wasn't property that was filled yesterday or 5 or 10 years ago. This property, best we can tell, prior to 1960, presumed to be lawfully filled as a result. But through no fault of our own, we've come to acquire a parcel that we don't have clear title to. And the Commonwealth owns the subaqueous land sitting underneath our field dirt. And we have a compensable interest in that field dirt, we believe, that if the Commonwealth wanted its subaqueous property back, it would have to pay to remove that. So we're in a catch-22 here. I mean, as the state, you're the monopolist in that you own all of the river bottom. We are a landowner with fill that has been there for decades, and the General Assembly has created this process for us to come before you to value that. And I will tell you that the bill that came to you before, one of the problems, and I've worked with Mr. Bowman and Mr. Grab for the last year on this issue, and I have to say that commendable their professionalism in this. We haven't always agreed, but they haven't been disagreeable about it. We couldn't come up with a good way to value what this property is worth in the most general sense, or how to calculate a credit. And the reality is that the 25% of assessed value is an arbitrary number that the General Assembly picked. There's no empirical evidence to indicate that 25% is truly a measure of value. It is deemed to be the value. And what we have asked for is a commensurate credit for real estate taxes paid during the length of ownership that the Walkers had the property. And they came to own the property in March of 1993. And I've provided that calculation, and if you go back for the 14 years, it equals approximately $23,233.53. And regardless of the amount that you credit, if any, this is a windfall to the state. You wouldn't be able to remove the fill from this property for either amount of money. And we believe that the real estate taxes, is it the best way to calculate a credit? I don't know, but it's the one objective measure that we do have. Now, subaqueous property is held in trust for the public by the Commonwealth. And what we would say to you is our taxes, although paid to the locality of Norfolk, did benefit the public. And they are taxes paid that otherwise might not have been paid or would have been less. Now, yes, we could have gone and after this came to light has sought a reduction from the locality, but you're only limited to a three-year rollback period on erroneous assessments. So what we have asked for to the staff and now to you is a credit for the full amount that we've paid over the last 14 years of real estate taxes. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions of Mr. Nolan, Mr. Fox, then Mr. Schick?
Did you take a tax deduction for the property taxes paid?
Sir, I'm not their accountant or business attorney, but presumably if you're an LLC and you've paid taxes, I would assume that...
So that could be an argument made to reduce the taxes paid by the, I mean, reduce the
credit,
the credit that you've calculated by the tax deduction they got for.
Yes, sir. I don't
For paying property taxes on somebody else's land.
Obviously, it wasn't a one for one, but yes.
Yeah. Real dollar realization. Mr. Chick.
Yeah. Are you asking for that to be deducted from 100% of the assessed value or from the 25% of the assessed value?
From the 25% of the assessed value.
Okay. There's no way that that has already been deducted in the 75% that's deducted.
Mr. Fox, I don't quite follow.
But going from 100% of assessed value to 25% of the assessed value, is there, would you perhaps consider the fact that maybe the, any property taxes paid on somebody else's land might be in that deduction?
I don't know that that's a fair assumption. At the end of the day, when you hold the fee, you hold the bundle of sticks of your property rights. The General Assembly has said in these instances where you have lawful, well, presumed lawful fill upon our property, we have deemed that to be a 25% value of assessment. I can't say that that much thought went into picking that number, and so I couldn't represent to you that it was considered,
or that it should be. Number's fairly low myself. But,
well, 25%, yes, of 100% is a low number. Now, if the Commonwealth wanted to remove this property, we would say, remove the fill dirt off of the Commonwealth Sebacuous property, we would need to be compensated for that, because if we have presumed lawfully filled this 60 years ago, before the commission came into its own, then we have a compensable right in that. Otherwise, there's an argument there's a governmental taking. So in that sense, I don't know that 25%, you know, there's two sides of that story. I mean, I think we would come out ahead if you came in and took bulldozers and took the earth away. Now, the reality is that's not going to happen. And the reality is that you're the Commonwealth, and you get to dictate the terms here. And this is a policy decision for this board.
And I would say that I think we are trapped somewhat in that we have been required by the General Assembly to sell this to you.
Absolutely. But it is a, Mr. Fox, it is a true catch-22.
Yeah.
This property has been put to productive use in the past. It is part of a larger wharfing out that, if you go back and look at the old plats, was planned, and probably the city encouraged the filling of this area. The reality is there's no aqualic value to the subaqueous value, subaqueous land, because there's tons and tons of dirt on it. So, yes, our arms are wrapped together and we sink or swim, but the Commonwealth, it is your property. And the General Assembly has said that in these instances where landowners are having a tough time clearing their title and can't get title insurance, that this is a process for the bundle of rights to be put back together for these properties. And that's why we're here today.
Well, I think it's clear that what we're talking about is price, and that's...
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up, as I understand it, your argument is that your client is entitled to a credit under the provision for unique circumstance, and you're saying that the unique circumstance is that the client paid property taxes for a period of 15 years.
If I may. that is how we would calculate it. I think in the overall scheme of things, we are coming to you with clean hands, having not filled the property ourselves, having purchased this property, and in fact purchased our deed line, goes out into the slip, and you know, now come to find out, don't own the subaqueous with water on it, that when you put all of that together, this is a new process, and I understand that and appreciate that, that some form of real estate taxes paid is the only objective measure of valuing a credit. Now, yes, we are here saying that having not filled it ourselves, having owned it for 15 years or thereabouts, that we are asking for a credit. So, well, it's not, you know, we did not do the filling of it.
Right, I understand that, and I understand that the hands are clean. But like Mr. Fox has already said, these were deductible expenses over the course of ownership of the property, for one. And my other question, just to follow up on the details of your worksheet, you've identified taxes paid on Parcel 2 and Parcel 3. I just want to make sure I'm clear. Are those amounts that were paid on that portion of those parcels that were over subaqueous bottom, or are those parcels entirely over subaqueous bottom?
Both of those parcels are entirely over subaqueous bottom. The distinction is that Parcel 3, taxes were paid out into the slip. The lot line goes out into the slip, so that subaqueous with water, we were paying taxes on that, even though it's not being conveyed under this process.
Thanks.
Mr. Tankard?
Maybe I'm getting a little confused here. So you bought, when the owner bought it 15 years ago, they didn't realize their property lines?
Well, the deed, and if you will look at the deeds down the line, and I represent another landowner right next door, the deed actually split the slip. Go out to the channel, back around. And that property was purchased 30-some years ago. And down the line to the next one, same situation. If you follow the deeds, meets and bounds of the deeds, out in the middle of the slip, out to the channel, back around. And here follows the course of the which you can walk on, with the exception of Parcel 3, which is closer to that building along Front Street. Those actually go out into the water. So that's how the meets and bounds are described. When we say it's subaqueous, it's all subaqueous with fill, with the exception of that sliver coming up Parcel 3 from the building. Did that help?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Holland?
This is kind of precedent setting. What they're requesting is to go back from the time of their ownership. So if we do this, we're setting a precedent that we're going to be doing this from the time of ownership. So in his case, it's 14 years. Somebody else could be 30 years.
You're getting to what concerns me just a little bit, and Mr. Nolan's right. We've worked diligently on this. What happens if the taxes exceed what the assessed amount is? Do we then provide a rebate? Or where does it stop? Or I mean, that's just a hypothetical. I don't know the answer to the question.
Well, I think what we're going to have to do is set a year, 5 years or some type of year that we're not, that
well,
we'll go back to.
Or not rebate at all.
Or not rebate at all. I mean, I think...
Mr. Fox, I'm sorry.
What we're doing, if we're setting this precedent for time owned, it could go back for many, many years.
You're right. Mr. Fox?
I guess I'm prepared to make a motion.
Go ahead.
If you're ready to receive one.
Matters before the commission.
I guess I trust in the infinite wisdom of the General Assembly to have considered the possible payment of taxes for some period of time when they made the reduction from 100 to 25%. And I think also in terms of our role going forward, we need some guideline on which we can hang our hats. And I think that the General Assembly has given us such a guideline, and I would make the motion that we convey the property based on the General Assembly calculation at
$31,924.72. For a second. Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I may, just to follow up on Mr. Fox's comments, I think I think the General Assembly was silent on the issue of whether or not property taxes paid should have been incorporated in the calculation, I think, or rather should be deducted from the 25%. I think if that were their preference, that would have been explicitly expressed. There is a provision for unique circumstances, and I guess at this point I'm not convinced that those taxes paid under the circumstances constitute such a unique circumstance.
However, I would say it is very prudent on behalf of council to bring that up as a potential unique circumstance. I will tell you, quite honestly, this all involved, and there's a number of people around that were involved in coming to this law. It was a very difficult thing to deal with, and my hat is off to, you know, Chris was very complimentary, Mr. Nolan, and I'm complimentary to him as well. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion carries unanimously.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, very much. We'll now be in adjournment for lunch until, let's say, 1:15. If we get back a little bit later, so be it. If we get back early, we will. 1:15.
Right.